Senator Al Franken joins us this morning, as he often does, to bring us up to date with what's going on in Washington. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are things in Grand Marais?
Very cold, sir.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, it managed to dip pretty far below zero, but I suppose that's what we're going to get. Spring is on the way.
Yep.
So, but
that's a sure sign that spring is on its way is that it dips well below zero.
Yeah, then it'll be back up again and then down. Well, you were here recently, so you know what it's like. And because you are a member of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, and as such, you've been on a renewable energy tour of Minnesota. So tell us about that.
Well, last week we were on recess, and I just became a member of the Energy Committee, which I'm very excited about. I've been trying, asked to do that at the beginning, but I got a reward, and I'm part of the committee. So I believe in renewable energy. I think renewable energy will be and is a source of jobs and an economic engine in Minnesota. So I took a kind of a mini tour. I went to Morris, Minnesota, which and the university there is doing tremendous things. They have a huge wind turbine, and they're putting up a second one. I think it may be up today. I mean, it was very close to being done when I was there. They do a biomass gasification plant, which is, I think, very relevant to northeastern Minnesota. You, of course, have a lot of forests, and, those are biomass, and we know how to do sustainable forests in northeast Minnesota.
And we have a group that's actually working on that as we speak.
Absolutely. And, when you gasify the whatever the feedstock is, in the case of northeast Minnesota, it would probably be wood, you burn it much more efficiently. It has it's carbon neutral because it takes the carbon in when it grows, and then it releases it when it is burned or gasified. And so these are extremely important ways for us to be supplying our electricity and to replace fuels from overseas. Also, obviously, in Minnesota, we have biofuels that can be replacing fuel from oil from overseas. So in the tax package at the end of last session, I made sure that we extended the production tax credit for biodiesel and the blending credit for ethanol. All these are to be economic engines to create jobs and have created jobs in Minnesota and also create more energy independence for Minnesota and the United States.
Well, yesterday you announced that Minnesota will receive $1 million in federal funds to begin planning a statewide health insurance exchange. Can you explain how that's going to work and what will it do?
Well, the exchange will be up totally by 2014. And what it'll allow small businesses and individuals to do is get on an exchange and choose from a whole menu of different health insurance options where they can pool themselves with other companies, other individuals, so that right now you pay a big premium if you're a small company with like 11 employees, or if you're an individual over a large group plan. And this will allow individuals and small companies to join, essentially pool themselves into large group plans and save an incredible amount of money. So let's say, here's the typical thing. Let's say you're a small business with 11 employees and one of them gets sick. Well, then your healthcare premiums go up tremendously the next year. Or two of them get pregnant. I mean, it can be good things, so this way, now instead of have 11 people that you're pooling your risk with, you can have several thousand or 10,000. And that really does change all the economics of it, and it'll make it cheaper for everyone.
So it's kind of like everybody's in a big group.
Exactly. Well, and you get to choose from a whole menu of different options.
Well, it looks like the House has passed an extension so that we can keep the government running. And that budget stopgap measure would, as I understand it, continue to fund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting at current levels. Now, obviously, we're being a community radio station, are concerned about CPB funding. Do you know where the Senate might stand on that?
Well, I'm definitely for continuing that funding. I mean, public broadcasting is provides a tremendous, tremendous service. It's nice to have broadcasting that is providing the kind of breadth and depth that public broadcasting does. So I'll be fighting for that. And then we need to address the deficit. I don't think that's the place to do it. I have a number of ways in which we can cut billions from our deficit that the other side, unfortunately, isn't talking about. I'll give you a few examples, if that's okay.
Please, please.
Let Medicare negotiate with the drug companies in Medicare Part D. Every other country does this. And you have to remember that the pharmaceutical industry is an international industry, and at least half of the pharmaceuticals come from overseas. And why, and it doesn't matter anyway, why are we the only country that doesn't allow our government to negotiate with the pharmaceuticals? We do it on the VA, and the VA, their drugs are about 40% cheaper than they are under Medicare Part D. This can save billions of dollars. This is one place. This is in an entitlement program. We keep hearing, well, we got to get control of our entitlements. You know, their cuts are only coming from a very small part of our budget. 12% of our budget comes from domestic discretionary funding. That's where they're making all the cuts. And they're cutting from education and from heating for the elderly, and we need to cut from the military. There's a lot of, you know, and Secretary Gates has said this, and he's made some cuts himself, and I'll give you areas where I think we can make more cuts. We can reduce our troop levels in Europe and Asia. Make the rest of the world pay, you know, our allies, protect our sea lanes and do those kinds of things. One thing the Tea Party did that was good, that I felt very good, is Speaker Boehner, this engine, this F-35 engine that we don't need, it's an extra engine, is being built in his district. And he tried to get that passed, but the Tea Party people said no. And we should be cutting oil company subsidies and tax breaks. The five top oil companies in the last 10 years made over $1 trillion, made about $1 trillion in profits. And we're still giving them subsidies and tax breaks that were passed in 1916. This is like tens of billions of dollars that we can be cutting. And then finally, eliminate tax breaks for millionaires. You know, I voted for extending tax cuts to every American, including millionaires, but just on your first million, okay? Not on your second million, not on your third million, not on your 10th million, not on your 100th million.
Well, that's a relief.
You know, yeah, well, I'm sorry if that'll hit you on your 100th million, but... Mm-hmm. That, again, is tens of billions of dollars. So there's plenty of places that we can look to bring down the deficit.
In other words, there's more to be put on the table than is on the table right now.
Absolutely.
Well, before I let you go, any comment on Wisconsin?
Collective bargaining is a right. It's what makes a union a union. And, you know, it's pretty clear that what this was about is not about balancing the budget, but busting unions. And it looks like most people in Wisconsin, by a large margin, support the union's right to collectively bargain. But I'm being told now I got to wrap up.
Okay, sir. We've been talking with Minnesota's U.S. Senator Al Franken. He joins us periodically. And thanks for doing that again today,
sir. Thank you, Jay. Bye.
Bye-bye.